Hello and welcome back to another episode of Inside the Asperger Studios. Today on the show, I'm joined with Lauren Bacon-Smith. She's the Chief People Officer of Enabled Intelligence. They're a brand new startup company that just started during COVID that does artificial intelligence work for the government out in Washington, D.C. They are an integrated workforce, meaning they also hire those who are neurodivergent. So sit back, relax, and grab your favorite beverage, and I'll see you on the other side. See you there. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Inside the Asperger Studios. Today, I'm joined with Lauren Bacon-Smith, who is the Chief People Officer of Enabled Intelligence. Welcome to the show, Lauren.
Thank you so much for having me, Reed. I'm very excited to be here.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
So, as you said, I am with Enabled Intelligence, and I oversee all of the HR department and recruiting and diversity and inclusion here at Enabled Intelligence. I live in Springfield, Virginia, which is in Northern Virginia, kind of right outside of the Washington, D.C. area. And I am a mom to a baby and a fur baby, our dog Sheila, and my husband Lindsay. We all live here in Northern Virginia. So a little bit about Enabled Intelligence. We are a small new technology company. We are a startup in the artificial intelligence space, and our office is in Falls Church, Virginia. And we will be celebrating our 3-year anniversary in March. So we just moved into a new office space, and what we do is, what we started off doing is data labeling and data annotation, but we've really expanded our service offerings to include really kind of the full life cycle within the artificial intelligence space. So we do data curation, we do model testing and model development. And of course, a big bulk of what we do is still that data annotation piece.
All right. So how did you guys come up with the idea that to hire those who are neurodiverse?
Yeah. So our CEO, Peter Kant, when he had the idea to start this company, he had heard about a program that the Israeli military, the Israeli Defense Forces have, where they were using some of their neurodiverse population in a cybersecurity program. And it was kind of highlighting the reasons why they started this program. And they were talking about, you know, the within neurodiverse individuals, you know, common skills and characteristics are, you know, attention to detail, being very analytical, being good problem solvers, looking at things in a different way, being very structured. And, you know, these were all things that we knew that we were going to need in team members to be able to do this type of work. And, you know, of course, you know, in the U.S., the neurodiverse, or even broadening it more, the disability community is definitely a very overlooked population when it comes to employment. They're either, you know, a large number of people that are unemployed or also underemployed and working in jobs where their skills are not being utilized and they are also underpaid. So, you know, being in the DC metro area, There's a lot of competition for talent. So we thought this would be a great solution to, a scalable workforce that we knew we would need to continue hiring more and more people that had these skill sets to help us be successful with the type of work we were going to be doing.
All right. Now, as you've told me, you have a migrated workforce, but those who are neurodiverse and those who are regular. Is your interview process different for each, or is it the same?
No, it's actually the same. So the way that we look at like our diversity and inclusion strategy, or the way that we kind of look at inclusion in general, is that everyone is different, and everyone should feel that they have a place to work where they can be their full selves and where they feel welcome and where they have the potential and they're set up for success. So since we knew that we wanted to hire a really diverse workforce and that we were going to have this focus around hiring people that are neurodivergent, we really built the company around that. So we, from the beginning, created our interview process, our onboarding process, our training process, the way we do communication internally. All of that is built around trying to accommodate, a diverse workforce and those who are neurodiverse.
All right. Now, do you accommodate for all sensory issues that your neurodiverse have?
It's interesting. We haven't had, many specific like accommodation requests that come up. We're just trying to create a really flexible environment and also think about things in advance So I think then that we may be not as many individual accommodations even come up. One of the examples is we just opened a new office space, and it's an area that has a lot of windows and a lot of natural light. But of course, like any office building, it also has the overhead, fluorescent lighting. And it took, only maybe like 2 hours in the new office space before the team decided that they wanted to turn off all the overhead lighting. And they all agreed on it, and they just took it upon themselves to turn the lights off. And, that's totally fine with us. And that's how it pretty much stays for the most part. There's people that have window seats that will, adjust the blinds, that, have different amounts of light that they want coming in. We have different one of our team members called them decompression rooms, which I thought was pretty cool, but kind of like quiet rooms where they can go and take a break by themselves or make a phone call or do some meditation. We have a break room that is our, kind of our kitchen area that we have. That's a little bit like different than the other parts of the office that are don't have, a lot of color and textures and different kind of sensory things. And it's kind of the opposite, where there's a lot going on and a lot to look at. And so kind of like a little bit of something for everyone. But, we are definitely very open to, we tell our team members, we ask them when they're coming on board. We do different, surveys, but we always tell people to let us know if there is something that comes up. And we try to take like the negativity away from the word accommodations. I think some people think that it's a bad thing or something that's going to be held against them. And we really just phrase it as, these are something that are available to everyone, whether you have a disability or not. We want people to feel comfortable and feel productive. We all have different things that help us be more productive. So, that's something that, inclusion means to us, that everyone has access to the same things.
So you have what's called a sensory inclusion room, basically, where it's a room where they can, like your one of your staff said, decompress.
Yeah.
That's really good, because not a lot of companies I know of have something like that for those. And that's a good thing to have, because when you're gaining all this information and you're being overstressed, it's a good place to go just to unwind and let your mind quiet down.
Yeah. Yeah. They're really, the rooms are kind of dark. There's just like a little dim lamp in there, and, you know, just, you can shut the door and, you know, take a little breather. So.
Now, how many people do you guys have on staff?
So we have about 25 people now. And we are, we'll be adding a few more in the next coming months. And, you know, kind of, I guess I didn't mention earlier that the bulk of work that we do is for the federal government. So we are a government contractor. And in the world of government contracting, you know, it's, there's a little bit of unpredictability in terms of growth. You know, we could find out tomorrow that we have won a new contract, or there's a current client that has a new project that is coming in, and that in a month we need to hire 10 people or 50 people or, you know, two people, whatever it is. You know, we know that we will be continuing to grow.
Now, do you offer mentoring for your staff, for those who are neurodiverse?
Yeah. You know, again, I think this is something that we offer to all of our team members. It's just a very supportive environment that we have a lot of people on the team where this is really their first professional job outside of like maybe like a retail job or a food services job, you know, their first time working in an office environment. And, you know, we know that that comes with some unique challenges and, you know, just kind of a learning curve. So we really kind of try to structure everything, you know, keeping that in mind, and the way that we deliver information and, you know, getting people used to working in that type of environment.
Now, what kind of things do you do to keep your staff happy so you don't have a high turnaround?
Yeah. We've worked really hard to create a good culture within the company and, you know, have it be a fun and inviting place for everyone to be on a daily basis. You know, you spend a lot of time at work. So we do things like every Monday morning, we get together and we have donuts and we talk about everyone's weekend and we talk about what's going to be happening then for the week in terms of work and new projects that are rolling out. We celebrate everyone's birthday. We celebrate everyone's work anniversaries. We just, you know, we have different holiday parties and gatherings. Like we just had a Halloween party with a costume contest and we brought in, you know, like a catered lunch. Last year we had a holiday party, which I'm sure we will do here pretty soon again, where we went to a local restaurant and bar and had some food and drinks together. So, you know, we know that for a lot of our team members, this is, also their social outlet. And, you know, we really love seeing how the team has evolved from when we first came into the office, because we were remote for a full year during COVID, because that's when the company started, and we didn't even have an office. So when we came into the office at first, everyone was pretty quiet. So we did some, you know, different team building activities and started doing more of these intentional social gatherings to get people together. And now everyone is just, you know, it's like a big family. You know, we are all very different and have different personalities and different quirks, and but everyone kind of understands each other and respects each other and appreciates each other for their individuality. And you know, everyone's kind of joking with each other and, you know, just it's a really fun place to work and you know, fun team to be a part of.
All right. Now, what is the age range that you have employed?
So I think I'd say probably very, you know, like early 20s to or even below, I think maybe even like I'd say maybe like 20 to I don't even know, you know, our oldest employee, but you know, 40s, 50s. You know, we really don't focus on age too much. You know, when we're recruiting or hiring, that's you know, I'd say we kind of have a variety. Yeah, I think our youngest team member that we've hired so far has been like you know, very lower 20s, but you know, we're always looking for new ways to find talent and organizations or areas to connect with to find new people to recruit. And you know, we've definitely discussed connecting with some local high school programs in the area for, you know, when people are graduating and getting out of high school. We do not require college degrees. So, you know, that hiring somebody directly out of high school would definitely, you know, be a possibility for us.
So you would say that one of the main things that makes you stand out amongst all the other companies out there?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, more companies these days are starting to realize that requiring a college degree limits them on, you know, they're missing out on good talent because college isn't for everyone. And you don't necessarily need to go to college for certain careers, especially in IT and technology, where, you know, people are getting certifications. Or for us, we don't require any previous work experience either. We do all of that training in-house. You know, you do need to have a certain level of computer skills and be, you know, very proficient with a computer and have that kind of, you know, aptitude for learning technology, but you don't have to have previous work experience or previous IT experience or any type of certifications. We do all of that training. So, you know, I think it just opens up a lot more, you know, opportunity for people, and for us opens up the door to being able to find more talent. And, you know, we really try to look at like, how can we bring people in versus screening people out?
All right. So that sounds good. I mean, when you're talking to kids coming right out of high school, they're fresh. Some kids, I've known a lot of people who college just isn't for them.
Yeah.
They've tried like one semester and it's like they can't handle being away from home, and or the workload is just too much, and they just wind up coming back home and working somewhere. You'd be like the perfect company for them because you make them feel comfortable. You say, hey, listen, we're gonna work with you, and so on and so forth, because college, a lot of kids can't handle, because it's a lot to be away from home. It's all that extra work. It's another more responsibility, where you hire somebody and you're teaching them a trade.
Yeah. Yeah. College is also, you know, very expensive. And, you know, the way that, you know, education is set up, especially, you know, public education in high school or, you know, elementary up to high school, is not really, doesn't work for everyone. So it doesn't even, you know, allow them to get the grades to get into college. But that doesn't, you know, for us, have any indication of someone's intelligence or capability in having a successful career. So, you know, I think that's, you know, the way that more companies should be thinking about it as well.
Now, what kind of incentives do you offer your employees? I mean, to entice them to stay longer.
Yeah.
Make them want to work with you.
Yep. So we offer all of our team members. So first of all of our positions are full-time positions. So that's 40 hours a week. They're actual employees of Enabled Intelligence. They're, you know, not a contractor or a temporary employee. We offer all of our team members health and dental benefits, retirement benefits, paid time off, and paid holidays as well. So, you know, we also want to make sure that our team members are getting, you know, a living wage. So our annotators start off at $20 an hour, which I think, you know, we've had questions about, you know, I guess some companies potentially pay people with disabilities less, which is horrible in my opinion. So, you know, that was a big thing for us that we wanted to make sure that, you know, we were paying a good wage and providing benefits to our team members as well.
All right. Now, do you have a high turnover rate or do your employees like stay for the long haul?
That's a great question. No, we actually have a very, very low turnover rate. We, in almost 3 years, have only had two people that are no longer with us on our annotation team. So, and one of those people, you know, went back to grad school in out of state. So, yeah, so the, you know, very large majority of our team has stayed. And that's something that, you know, we're definitely very proud of and grateful for as well, because we do put a lot of time into training our team members and really making them specialists in what we're doing. So, you know, we're very happy that they're, you know, staying with us and, you know, helping to continue grow the company.
And what kind of experience do you look for in your future employees?
So we really, like I mentioned before, we do not require degrees. We do not require really any previous work experience. We don't focus too much on someone's resume. Because what we're looking for is kind of hard to put on paper. What the requirements for the role and the things that, you know, if somebody was thinking about, is this a potential fit for me? The things that we need in a team member are a, you know, proficiency with computers and ability to learn this technical skill. A level of independence that would allow you to come into work every day in our offices in Fallsburg, Virginia. Our positions are all in person. We provide very flexible schedules. I guess this is something I probably could have mentioned under incentives or benefits as well. We have people that have varying commutes in the Northern Virginia, DC, Maryland, Virginia area. There's it's common for people to live in, say, Maryland and then drive into Virginia for work, or live in DC and drive into Virginia, or vice versa. And traffic here can be pretty bad. We also have some people that just have preferences and feel more productive working super early in the morning, or some people that rather work later into the evening. So we allow very flexible schedules. We have some people that come in at 5 a.m. and leave, you know, at 2 p.m. Or we have some people that come in a little bit later in the morning and will work into the evening. We also have some people that prefer to work longer days, Monday through Thursday, and then take Friday off, or just only work a few hours on Friday. So we really are pretty flexible with that. But one of the requirements we do have is that everyone is in the office by 9:30. So, you know, you have to be able to be punctual and be able to manage your own schedule. We do offer support if somebody wants help building out a schedule, but they're going to be responsible for, you know, for holding themselves accountable and, you know, being on time, you know, being there by 9:30 and then working the appropriate amount of hours by the end of the week and applying the right amount of hours to the projects that they're working on. We need team members to be able to reliably communicate in some form. You know, we don't, we're also flexible with that. You know, we have some team members that prefer to communicate via, we use Slack, which is a, you know, like a chat, like system, on our computers. So, you know, we do a lot of communication through that. And some people are more comfortable with that versus having an in-person conversation. But just some form of communication where, you know, somebody, if you're going to be late or if you're going to be out sick or you have a question about something, we need people to be able to communicate when they have questions and need help with something. Those, you know, really are, you know, and then the other thing is also being able to work in a diverse environment and diverse group of people. You know, we have had no issues with that. Our team members get along really well and work mm-hmm. together really well and are very respectful of each other, which is great. So
you had some really early birds.
Yes, very early birds. That is not me. So I'm always so impressed when people can, you know, wake up early, get their work done, and then they've got, you know, like half the day left ahead of them. So, you know, we just want to basically try to take any of the barriers down that, you know, are instead of making people fit into a box of what we think is best and right, we try to, as much as possible, you know, work around, you know, what helps them be productive and successful. So, yeah.
Have you had any issues with any of your employees, or has everyone been like very good and working well together?
Yeah, no, I mean, we have not had any like internal conflicts or anything, you know, everyone has, you know, not that I'm aware of that, you know, if there was, I think, you know, people would have just resolved it with each other, but we have not, you know, we've not had any major issues, which I think is, you know, again, employers maybe that are hesitant to hire someone that's neurodiverse. I think a lot of that just stems from them not having awareness or understanding what that means. And then also just like allowing somebody to truly be themselves and not having it be something that has to be a big deal, you know, that somebody communicates differently or, you know, sounds or acts or looks different. Like it doesn't matter. It doesn't impact the end result of the work that's being done. So mm-hmm. if everyone just kind of lets that go, like it's a non-issue.
Yeah, I mean, that's great. I wish more companies were like yours. I mean, you don't see a lot of companies hiring neurodiverse people. I mean, it's either they're afraid to train them or they just don't want to deal with it.
Yeah, it's definitely it's getting more attention and awareness. There are companies and there are some big companies like, you know, that I've heard out there that are creating programs and starting to have more focus on this, like Microsoft and mm-hmm. EY and CGI and some government agencies as well. You know, like I know NGA, which is one of our customers, that they have a big program, big neurodiversity program that they're working on. And there's other government agencies out there as well. So it's starting and, you know, I think it's only going to continue to grow because other people, you know, as they start to do these type of things are going to realize what we've realized and that, you know, this is not, you're not doing it as a charity case or, you know, we're not a nonprofit company. We're a for-profit company. We're doing this because it makes good business sense. These are people that have good skills and, you know, that we need to be successful as a company. So.
And finally, where can people find out more about you and Enabled Intelligence?
So, you can find me on LinkedIn. Enabled Intelligence, you can find us at enabledintelligence.net. There is a ton of information on there about the company, about our team. And then also, there is a link on there for, our, open positions. We always keep our data annotator position posted, even if we're not currently hiring, because we like to continuously screen people that are interested. That way, if, you know, we can go through the process. And then, once we do have a position that opens up or multiple positions that open up, we can reach back out to people and see if they are still interested and available in a job opportunity. And what that process kind of looks like is, once you apply, we will send you a, actual annotation assessment. So you do kind of a test project. There is some training that comes with it and, you do an assessment. So that way, that helps us see if you're able to be trained in this space. And then it also helps you to, see if it's something that you would be interested in doing. You know, because this work isn't necessarily for everyone. You know, so it's kind of a two-sided project. And then if, you do meet the qualifications on that assessment, then we would reach out and set up a, video meeting to, kind of just discuss, you know, a little bit more about the opportunity, what it's like to work at Enabled Intelligence, find out, you know, what the person thought about the assessment. And we send out all of the topics that we're going to talk about to the person before we meet. You know, it's not really a like traditional interview where we're asking set questions and there's like a right or wrong answer. It's really more of just a discussion. So, that takes some of that stress and pressure away. So
that's very good because, I mean, you take a lot of that pressure off of people applying for jobs, especially if they're interested in that position. I think you're making them feel more at ease. And that is so important when you're applying for jobs, because when it comes to like applying for work, people get nervous, they get anxious, they don't know if the company's going to accept them. This way you're saying, hey, apply, let's see what you know. And then if you fit, let's have a chat.
Instead of an interview. Yeah, we, you know, we're not trying to catch people off guard or quiz them or, you know, like our goal is not to set people up for failure. We want people to be successful. So we, you know, have really tried to structure our recruiting and screening process around that. So.
And that's it, ladies and gentlemen. That was Lauren Bacon-Smith from Enabled Intelligence. Thank you so much, Lauren.
Thank you so much, Reed. This was wonderful.
All right. See you on the next one, everyone.
How I miss the way things used to be. I'm no big fan of now. I must have some sweeter memories somewhere in the cloud. Welcome to the new normal. Welcome to the new normal. Welcome to the new normal. Shout. Welcome to the new normal. Welcome to
Gonna miss all you used to be. Gonna miss all you had. Consigned to the dustbins of history, like opinions from your dad. Welcome to the new normal. Welcome to the new normal. Welcome to the new normal. Shout. Talk to the freaks, you can talk to just about anybody you happen to meet. It ain't what it was, and it is what it is.